WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. This is WVUA 90.7 FM, the Capstone, and welcome to episode number 43 of the Full Court Press Podcast. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Alex Chasen and Nick Atkinson. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at @FCPPodcast_UA and on TikTok at @FCP_podcast. With all that being said, let's get into it.
NBA coaches have the shortest leash, I think, possible out of any of the major four sports. Monty Williams is out. Doc Rivers is out. You know, we talked previously about Mike Budenholzer and all those other guys that have Nick Nurse, guys that have lost their job. But now, recently, since last time we met up, Doc and Monty Williams. Nick, I'm going to start off with Monty Williams. I know you made a little video on it. What's your take on that whole situation? And why are all these good coaches getting fired, especially Monty Williams, just after like three or four seasons?
Probably just because management believes that it's just easier to get more success out of your players rather than the coach. So they're just looking for a scapegoat rather than a player. So, cause it's easier to kind of continue to build around players rather than a coach. So I think it's just more, they want to just build around the players and give the players more of a chance and see if they can thrive under a different coach.
Yeah. But it's not like they failed with Monty. They went to the finals and he was a good coach. He seemed to get that locker room together. Maybe not on the outside, inside, but on the outside looking in, it seemed like they all liked each other.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy considering he's the most winning coach since he was, you know, hired by Phoenix. Most wins out of any coach, took him to the finals, Western Conference Finals appearances. But, I mean, he just hasn't been able to get it done, which is kind of unfortunate considering all he's done for Phoenix. So I think there could be some ego problems in the locker room. I think it kind of sucks that they chose DeAndre Ayton over Monty Williams. I guess head coaches in some people's eyes are more replaceable, even though DeAndre Ayton in the playoffs was no good whatsoever. I mean, Nikola Jokic made that man his son. So it's kind of unfortunate to see. Monty Williams was very talented, and there's going to be a lot of teams targeting him in the upcoming offseason.
Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. What did you like for Philly?
I like Nick Nurse more. I just want Harden out, so whatever gets him out.
Harden's already gone. I saw that report today that he wants to like join a contending team, and then he wants to join a team that gives him freedom to do whatever with the ball.
He makes the team not a contender, though. That's what he does. Yeah, we were better without him. So, I mean, we were better with just Tyrese Maxey.
He wants to join a team where he could do whatever. So, I think that kind of like locks him in as a Houston Rocket.
He can keep living in delusion, thinking that he's, you know, that guy, but he's not.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk about Game 7?
Sure.
All right, so James Harden and Joel Embiid didn't show up, but Joel Embiid had the audacity to say, you know, me and James can't do it alone. He had like a whole, in his post-game press conference, I'm not sure if you guys saw the interview, but either way, how can you say that when guys like Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey, I think Tobias had 19, Maxey had like 17 or something, they scored more than both Harden and Embiid. Harden had like 9, I think Embiid had like 15 or 16. Either way, they didn't show up, but yet Embiid is blaming Maxey and Tobias when they're the only ones that actually scored the most points for Philadelphia. I think it's crazy. And obviously JT, 51 you know, point game, that has to be brought up as well. Monster masterclass. I saw that in person. I was freaking out. That's why my voice is kind of hoarse. I'm still recovering from Game 7. So we'll see what happens.
I have a bit of a hot take. Nick, don't get mad at me. I like Joel Embiid and all. Like, I have no problem with him as a player, but he's great. But I think his MVP was fraudulent. His team had a higher winning percentage than like without him than they did with him, which in my eyes is pretty crazy. Every other candidate for MVP, that being Giannis and Jokic, both had lower win percentages without them. The Sixers were better without Joel Embiid, which is pretty crazy to say. And then he goes out in press conferences and blames his teammates and all of this, and then gets his head coach fired. There goes Doc Rivers, even though
not that was hard. The coach was hard. Well.
The thing is, Doc, that's been coming.
I mean, I could have seen it, but I mean, if they went to the finals and if Embiid would have showed up in that last game, I think we'd be having a different conversation here. Joel Embiid too. Necessarily didn't deserve it as much as somebody like Giannis. I mean, yeah, Giannis got first rounded, but I mean,
it's a regular season award, like that, though, not a full season.
And the
award.
Sixers were still better without him in the
regular
season.
Where did you see that at? I've never seen that before.
Well, the thing I saw it on a stat on Instagram. Somebody posted it.
Let's just say that stat is true, which I think I've seen a similar one. Players step up. Like when a key guy's out, players step up because they have to. Their roles have to be bigger. So, I mean, I don't know how good it is to look at that. I don't know, because I feel like everyone's got to step up. Also, not to add fuel to the fire with Jamie here, but I did see Embiid's the only MVP, and I'm okay with him getting the MVP. He's the only MVP not to make it to the conference finals.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Shit, that, excuse me. That's all right with me, but I mean, I don't know. I'm ready to build around Maxi anyway, so.
Would you trade Embiid?
Yeah, I would. I want 9 or 10 first-round picks. I mean, Rudy got 6 first-round
picks.
That's true. He ruined the market. Rudy ruined the market.
So I want at least 8 first-round picks. And, like, for example, let's say Portland has made the third overall pick available. So
what's up?
Jamie's over there eating.
I ain't eating today. My bad.
But the third overall pick is available. So I would like, if like by Portland, so we could trade Joel to Portland for the third overall pick. Then we would have Maxi, and then I don't know, for whatever reason, let's say the Hornets are stupid, and they pass out, they pass on Brandon Miller. We get Brandon Miller, or we could have Scoot Henderson and Tyrese Maxey. I mean, I would just want some picks and, you know, just some stuff like that. So,
do you think it would happen? I don't think it's going to happen this offseason, though.
No, I don't think so either.
It's going to be interesting to see. But let's talk about the conference finals. So, obviously, the Heat beat the Knicks in 6. The Celtics, we just talked about that. They beat Philly in 7. That's the conference finals in the Eastern Conference. Then out West, Nuggets beat the Suns in 6. Lakers beat the Warriors also in 6. That's the Western Conference finals. Let's start off at the East. What are you guys thinking?
I think I'm going to take the Celtics in 6.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing. Yeah.
I think the Heat have had – they always do good against Boston, but the Celtics usually get that last laugh. So I think they'll win a couple games. They might take one in Boston for all I know. However, the Celtics will come out on top. I think just firepower alone, they have enough to do it and run it back in the finals, see if they can get their revenge and get that 18th. So I'm going to take Boston in 6.
Yeah, I see the Heat taking the first. I see them taking game 1. Then I see them taking game 3 or game 4. One of their games at home. And I definitely see them winning game 1.
So I got Celtics in 7 just because of the fact, if you can see the past two series, they get very like lackadaisical and they start dropping games. They should have beat Philly in 6. They should have beat the Hawks either in 4 or 5. This should go 5 or 6, but that's why I'm saying 7, just because they're going to drop games they shouldn't. They're going to get like, oh, we're up 3-2, then it's going to get tied 3-3. Oh, we're up 2-1, then it's going to get tied 2-2, whatever the case is. So that's why I want to say Celtics in 5 or 6. But as they keep proving me wrong, I got to go more realistic, and they're going to get too comfortable, and they're going to go to 7 games.
That's a good take. I like that.
And then for the West, Lakers and Nuggets, we saw last night that their game 1 happened. The Nuggets blew him out in the first half. Jokic had like, what, 20 and like 16 in the first half. Something crazy. He was looking like the true 3-time MVP, you know, if that happened. But then there was an adjustment. They put Rui on Jokic, and they had Anthony Davis play more of a role where you could kind of like run around and help defense, that type of role. I'm sure Nick would understand it better than me, because I mean, I'm sure he was focusing on AD more and all that, since he wants Lakers to win. But anyways, I noticed that adjustment from the Lakers, and I think they're going to do that going into the next game. And I think they're going to come out and win and tie the series up, because that Rui adjustment they put on Jokic really worked well for them.
Yeah, I still see the Lakers winning the series, you know, because they – what was it? I saw, like, that they played a bad game. Like, the Lakers overall did not play good, but they were still very close to winning the game. And D'Angelo Russell was much to blame because of that. And I saw him practicing after the game shooting threes. So, you know, if he goes out there and he can shoot, I know LeBron and AD will be consistent. At least LeBron will be consistent. Then they'll be able to win the series.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Nuggets in either 6 or 7 here, because last night the Nuggets were just hitting everything. Like, no matter what they took, it was going in. I mean, everybody stepped up. Bruce Brown, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray had 25, 26, and then Jokic obviously had one of the best playoff games we've seen in a very long time. So I think the Lakers will take the next one, because you're not going to hit every shot in every game. So I think the Lakers will capitalize next game, but I'm going to still take the Nuggets in 6. They've just looked so good over the entire series. This is a completely different Nuggets team that we saw in 2020 when they faced the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, and I think they're back for a lot of revenge on this Lakers team. So I'm gonna take the Nuggets here. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to seven, but I think the Nuggets step up and take it in six.
I say Nuggets in seven just because the Lakers, they didn't do it last night, but I think they're going to take game two. They've been stealing away game throughout this entire playoffs with the Grizzlies, and then the Warriors are going to do it again. So I'm going to say Nuggets in seven. It should be like six, like you just said, Jamie, but I think it's going to take seven games because the Lakers are just going to steal games. And last night was interesting. It was the first time where AD like had a fantastic performance and they didn't win in these playoffs. Usually every game they've lost so far, it's because AD didn't perform and they just couldn't carry the load everywhere else. But AD played out of his mind and they still lost, which is a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you play the two-time MVP.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Nuggets Lakers is gonna, I think they're both gonna go seven, but I think the Nuggets and Lakers, every game's gonna be like intense. Like that fourth quarter, I feel like that's gonna be every the rest of the quarters going forward. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. It's gonna be a tight series. It's very fun to watch. I mean, both these teams bring a lot to the table. All of them have potential to win the finals. I mean, whoever meets up with Boston in the finals, it's gonna be a great series nonetheless. So, I mean, I think the Nuggets have a way better chance of beating Boston than the Lakers do.
Know.
I mean, who knows?
I would say the
Boston
Lakers
usually
have a
does
better
well.
chance just because of I feel like Robert Williams, he specializes in defense, and Al Horford shut Joel Embiid down. So I just think that they have a better interior defense that a better interior defense the Boston Celtics do than the Lakers and any of the teams that the Nuggets have faced so far, especially Phoenix and especially Minnesota. So I think that in that series, if they were to play Boston, I could see them winning in six.
The Lakers?
Boston. Boston in six
Oh, Boston. Okay.
against the Nuggets. And if they play the Lakers, I don't know. I don't know. That would be tough. That one would fully depend on how D'Angelo Russell plays.
He's a big X factor for the Lakers. Like
He
last night,
is. He's the biggest X factor.
he
He
had.
has been in
every series. I mean, if he plays bad, the Lakers don't play good in general. I mean, they kind of really rely on D'Lo for a lot of what they do. So if he plays bad, and we've seen him play bad a few times, the whole team just doesn't necessarily step up. So if him and AD can both step up, then they'll be fine.
I think whoever wins out West, if they eventually, let's just say the Heat somehow make it out, they're gonna demolish the Heat.
Oh yeah.
I
They
see
would,
no
yeah.
way the Heat win the finals, even if they get past the Celtics, which again I don't see happening. But there's been crazier things. Jimmy Butler's playing like MJ. He has all the role. Everyone on that roster is playing better than they did in the regular season. Duncan Robinson shot
He
like
actually
30.
scores points now. That's
He
crazy.
shot 32% from three in the regular season, now shooting 42% because he's in a rhythm and he's actually getting playing time versus like just sitting on the bench with Tyler Herro and Victor Oladipo, obviously taking over, but now they're hurt. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But I think if the Heat somehow get past the Celtics, they're going to lose in five to the Nuggets or Lakers. I can't see them win the finals.
Interesting. Interesting. I think it'd be so funny if they won the finals. That'd be the craziest thing ever. I
Be
mean,
like,
I'd like to see them win the finals just for like the heck of it. Why not? But I mean, from a realism standpoint, it's obviously not going to happen. I
that
hate
would
to
be
say
better
it.
than 28-3. Because like
That'd be
from
pretty
being a
crazy.
play-in team to like winning the finals, that's like the hardest road possible.
Yeah. Especially when you just beat the Bucks and Giannis and then the Knicks in New York in a crazy atmosphere like that, and you kind of just beat them down every game. And now you have Boston, who is probably the best team in basketball in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you got to face either LeBron or Jokic in the finals. That might be harder than Dirk's path in 2011. So it's going to be fun to see.
What do you think fell apart for the Knicks, Nick?
Inexperience in Julius Randle and RJ Barrett. Everybody but Jalen
Especially
Brunson and Josh
Julius.
Hart. If I'm the Knicks, I'm trading Julius Randle. I don't care about if I get less in return. I want him off the team. He's not consistent at all. He doesn't play good defense, and he's kind of a ball hog too. And I think if you were to trade him, it gives RJ Barrett a lot more freedom to play how he wants to play. And it could give, other players like Obi Toppin a little bit more of a chance and, play people to not be calling him a bust anymore, stuff like that. I just think that I think if I'm them, I'm definitely looking to trade Julius Randle to a team that's, willing to pick him up, like that's under some sort of, stupid management, such as, the Blazers. I could see them trading for him. The Hawks, I could see that. They want to get rid of John Collins and some of those other guys, so I could see them doing something like that. But I would just try to get him off the team.
I agree. He was so bad. He's the reason the Knicks lost. I mean, Jalen Brunson did everything he could. RJ Barrett played fine, but geez, man, every shot that Julius Randle shot, I knew it wasn't going to go in. He was shooting the most contested threes. No reason for him to be shooting all these turnaround fades. He was just so bad. Jalen Brunson is the heart of that Knicks team, and I'd get rid of Julius Randle. He's just no good. I completely agree here with Nick.
And then the Warriors jumping over to another team that lost. They have Draymond Green, who's going to probably opt out of his player option. Klay Thompson, who's up for an extension this summer. You got Steve Kerr jumping into his last year of his contract. Bob Myers, their general manager, his contract ends in June. Jordan Poole, what's going to happen with him? He just signed a big, obviously, contract beginning of this season. He might get moved depending on what the Warriors' future is. A lot of moving parts. It's going to be better. What do you guys think?
I think the first thing to happen will be Jordan Poole, whether or not they keep him or not. I forgot who it was. They said if, oh, it was Draymond Green. He thinks if him and Jordan Poole, that altercation didn't happen, they would still be in the playoffs right now. I do not think so. I just think that they
Podcast.
were not. Yeah, I just don't think that they were good enough to be there anyways. They lost Otto Porter and other important pieces. James Wiseman, they needed another dominant backup big man, and they were playing Jermichael Green heavy minutes, and then eventually they saw how bad he was, so he didn't play for another the last four games of the series. And I don't know. I just think Jordan Poole will be the next one out of there. I think that they'll probably try to trade him to a team that's looking for some sort of youth. So
Is the dynasty over?
I don't know if they'll win any more championships, but they're going to be in deep playoff runs for the next 2 or 3 years still.
That's tough. I mean, with the way Klay Thompson's been playing,
But
he's
it's
really
st
off and
I
on. And Jordan Poole's been so bad. He's the
at
reason they
least
made it
I
so
know
far
Steph
last
Curry.
year.
Steph Curry is going to lead them to the second round at least.
He's really all you need, honestly.
That's what I'm saying.
I think if you trade a package of Jordan Poole, you extend Klay Thompson, you extend Draymond, and you trade Jordan Poole for, I couldn't even give you a name. I don't know. I mean, I was thinking this is crazy. There's been no talks on this, but you package Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga, some picks, and a sign and trade for James Harden.
I don't know.
I brought
That's
that up because that's what I did on NBA 2K today when I was real. I'm rebuilding the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's the only trade that I liked.
I'm in the middle of a rebuild right now too. I just got off of it.
I packaged Poole, Kuminga, a few picks for James Harden, like in a sign and trade. And then your lineup would be Curry, James Harden, Wiggins, Draymond, whoever center you want. And then your sixth man is Klay Thompson, which I'm sure he'd be fine with that since he kind of didn't do well in these playoffs. He's getting older. And if he's just like a spark off the bench, like your sixth man, I think that'd be the best sixth man in the league, you know, after Malcolm Brogdon, of course. But I don't know. What do you think about that one?
I don't know. James Harden's inefficient. I mean, he had three good games in the playoffs, and then he's a second round exit per usual. I don't know. It's if I'm any team, I'm not looking to pay him. If Houston pays him a lot of money, they're just stupid. So, I mean, yeah, he deserves maybe 150 million, but I'm not paying him 200 anything higher than 200 million.
I
Really?
wouldn't
He's
either.
gonna
He's just
get
not worth
way
it.
more than that, though.
Oh, he's going to get more than that, I know. But if I was the GM of any team, he's not getting anything more than 150 out of me. Because he doesn't lead to wins. He's ineffective. Well, he leads to wins. He doesn't lead to postseason wins. He's ineffective in the postseason. He might have
Especially
three good games, but that's it. He's not going to do anything more than that. It's what he's always done. Whenever Chris Paul got injured back when they were making those runs on the Warriors, he would always be the one to fall apart and, in the end sell them out. So.
I mean, yeah, especially with such a young roster in Houston, I just don't see them winning any playoff games. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Jalen Green. He doesn't really amount to wins. The Rockets are an AAU team right now, and now they have an improved head coach. I'm going to say that Ime Udoka is a huge, huge improvement. However, I just don't see the like what they're going to do. They have the fourth pick, I believe. It's the fourth,
Fifth.
right?
Fifth.
Yeah, so I can
Oh, it's
see him getting
fourth?
one of the
Okay.
Thompson brothers and then like James Harden, I guess. But it's still such a young team.
If
I
they
don't get what
get
they're going to do.
one of the Thompson twins, I will agree that it's an AAU team because then you're just doing way too much at that point. They need to get Jairus Walker or Jabari Walker, whatever his name is. That's who
Jairus.
they need to get. Yeah. He's a good defending two-way player, and he actually looks like he can do that type of play that James Harden is good with. So yeah, I don't know. I just that's probably where he's gonna go, and I hope so. So.
Speaking of the NBA draft lottery happened last night, and the Spurs, they're getting Victor Wembanyama. Wow. Their projected
I'm
starting
so
lineup,
happy with this.
their projected
I'm so
starting
happy.
lineup is Trey Jones, Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, Victor Wembanyama, and Zach Collins is their projected starting five. That ain't a championship starting five, but it could grow into a solid starting five if you get a better center. And maybe I would assume Trey Jones isn't going to turn into anything great, but you get a better point guard as well. Maybe Russell Westbrook signs a pretty big deal there, and he can pass some lobs to Victor Wembanyama. I know you're
That'd be
shaking,
pretty hard.
but like, hey, you could get a starting point guard role like that. As a snap of a finger, he'd be the starting point guard there.
I'm good on that. I'd rather him sign a minimum to the Clippers. I mean, I saw a thing released. I saw all of his chances of where he would go if he didn't sign back with the Clippers. It was his highest chance of going to another team would be the Knicks. And I was like, I don't get that. That's kind of
Six man.
weird
Yeah,
because
they don't need him.
that's.
Jalen Brunson and Emmanuel Quickley, they don't need
I
him.
guess I think about running them to one at the point in the two, but I mean, still, I wouldn't do that. And they already are so guard heavy anyways. You don't need Russell
Exactly.
Westbrook on top of that. If I had to make a guess where he goes, I'm very uncertain. I know he's the type of player that he would take a smaller contract, but they're saying that teams are willing to offer him, $20 million a year to sign places just because of how much he improved his play in the postseason and at the end of last season. But I think I'd prefer for him to either go stay on the Clippers or I would love to say Washington, but I don't know. If I'm being honest, I want him to just go back to OKC. So
I'd probably become a big fan again if you went back to OKC, because then you
if
do
he
have
went, well, I mean, and what I was thinking was more along the lines of Shea and Giddey are both 6'7", and Shea could run the three, and then Westbrook could kind of, I mean, Josh Giddey's already kind of that triple double type of guy. He could really mold him into that. One of like just being able to do everything on the court. Westbrook could help him mold into that, and I know he would like to play in OKC again for sure. But if I had to make
absolutely.
a guess, it'd probably be the Clippers, or yeah, probably the Clippers. Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to see Russ and Harden go back to their old teams. That'd be pretty sick. But I mean,
Oh yeah.
going back to the draft lottery, the Spurs getting the first pick. They got their next Tim Duncan. The last two times the Spurs had the first overall pick, it landed Tim Duncan and David Robinson, who are two of the greatest players of all time in everybody's eyes. So, I
Yeah.
mean, they're fantastic with their picks. Greg Popovich knows exactly what he's doing because now he's going to stay. There's no shot he retires now with Victor Wembanyama. So
Oh,
they got their next Tim Duncan. I got my Wembanyama shirt on right now. And also, I'm doing a Spurs rebuild. I just started a Spurs rebuild on 2K. We just got swept in the NBA Finals, unfortunately, by the Cavaliers. But my two main guys are Shaedon Sharpe and Victor Wembanyama. They're beasts. But the Spurs, they're so set. Vassell is a fantastic scorer at his age. He's only 21 or 22, averaging close to 20 points a game. Keldon Johnson's already proven himself to be a great scorer, averaging 22 a game. Trey Jones, he's more of a facilitator. He can't necessarily shoot to save his life. Because I think only shoots 20% or something from three. I know it's something bad. But he's
SoCon? Trey
no
Jones.
Trey Jones.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking for a minute. I swear I heard you say Vassell. I was like, oh, no, nah, he's a great shooter.
No, Vassell's fantastic. Vassell and Keldon Johnson are fantastic. But Trey Jones now, I could definitely see them making a move to improve at the point. But Sochan, he's fine for the power forward or wherever they want to play him because Wembanyama could play the center or the power forward, whatever they need him to do. And then Zach Collins, he's kind of just proven himself to be a solid player in the league, solid starter. So I could see the Spurs getting 35. Nah, not 35. That's a lot. But I mean, they can definitely make a play-in push, playoff push if they're lucky, depending on how Wembanyama pans out. Because Popovich knows what he's doing. He has a solid squad now, and depending on what they could do in free agency as well, the Spurs they're going to be nice.
See, Woj said Wembanyama is the most highly thought of prospect, not in just in NBA history, but in sports history, which I thought was crazy. And I believe the hype, but I gotta see him.
Yeah,
Like he's
that's a lot.
so skinny. He's like I actually like the projection where he's projected to play the four, because we saw with Chet Holmgren, he didn't even make it to the NBA. He got hurt in the Drew League, tore his Achilles, and he didn't even play the season. Wembanyama is a little bit bigger. He's not quite as like skinny like a rail. Like Chet Holmgren, but still, we saw the Giannis transformation from coming into the league to now turn to the Greek freak. He's massive now.
Yep.
We need something like that from Wembanyama over the next 4 or 5 years of his career going to the
Chet
NBA.
Holmgren's starting to put on weight. I saw some workout videos of his recently. He's been in the gym since he's gotten hurt. He's pretty muscular now. I'm not saying Giannis muscular. He's still kind of bony, but he's no Kevin Durant. He actually has some definition. So Chet's building himself up. I'm not necessarily crazy worried about him. I'm not sure he'll be a star, But I mean, he's putting muscle on. I'm sure Victor will do the same. So I think he'll be a beast no matter what. I mean, his floor is still pretty high to me. So no matter where Victor Wembanyama ends up, it'll be San Antonio. But no matter what he does, the Spurs are going to be fine. They're going to be good.
My only concern is just I just gotta see him. Like, I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, is it the next GOAT? Great. I can see what he does on the NBA court. But I do want to talk about the Charlotte Hornets getting the second pick and then the Portland Trailblazers jumping up. They only had 10.5% odds to get the first pick. They jumped up to three, leaping the Rockets and the Pistons, who both have the highest, one of the highest odds, along with San Antonio, get the first overall pick. Portland, though, let me start off with them. Do they want to trade up to two? Because the Hornets, they don't need Scoot. They got LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier. Yeah, they might move off from Rozier, but they definitely don't need Scoot because they got LaMelo Ball. And I don't think that guard and shooting guard pairing would really work out because I think they're both very ball
No.
dominant. So they don't
We'll
need
get Brandon
Scoot.
Miller.
But this is what I'm saying. Do you trade with Portland, try to get some assets, whatever you want to do? Portland trades up to two. Charlotte moves back to three. Portland gets their two, like their brand.
I don't know if Portland needs a guard though, because Portland has Lillard. I don't know what they're gonna do
No,
with him.
they're he's out of there.
That's what I'm saying. Dame's guy might get traded this offseason.
But then you also have Anfernee Simons, who's been great, and then
He's a
you have
two.
Shaden Sharp.
He's a two guard. Shaden Sharp's three.
Yeah, Simmons is a
Shaden
two.
Sharp's been playing the two, but yeah, I guess they can go that route. Scoot could be their new one.
I mean, I
But
would do that.
where do
He
y'all think
is
Lillard goes?
Miami.
I have no clue.
I'm thinking the same thing.
What'd you say, Nick?
Miami or Brooklyn?
Miami. If he goes to Brooklyn, it's no different than him just having CJ on the team, in my opinion. I mean, and if he goes to Miami, I don't know. I don't see him ever winning a title unless it's like a Gary Payton role, being a backup point guard. I mean, I don't see it. So
Yeah, I feel you.
it's gonna be very interesting. But that was one of the things I was thinking about. And then the Raptors, who are at 13, do they try to package the 13th overall pick with a team that has talked about wanting to compete, like the Rockets? They didn't get the first overall pick, so they lost out on the Wemby sweepstakes. They're at four. Do you try to package Pascal, maybe someone like a Fred Van Vliet, maybe OG, not all of them, but a mixture of that? Maybe you do all three. Try to jump up to four if you're Toronto, and then Houston gets their guys where they can compete with, have Jalen Green. Because if you have Jalen Green, Pascal, OG, and maybe one other guy like a Gary Trent Jr., and then whatever else you try to decide to do this offseason with Kevin Porter, that's a 6 to 8 seed right there, easily. If they're trying to compete so badly, if not higher, with how tight the West was this season.
Yeah, I mean, then you add Harden on top of that too. So, I mean,
Yeah, I didn't even bring that up. If possibly you get Harden too, I don't even know if you could pay him at that point. But
yeah.
the Raptors are an interesting team to watch at 13. Since they just fired Nick Nurse, they're definitely in rebuild mode. They might try to trade up and trade some guys for a higher pick with a team that maybe wants to compete, or even the Pistons. You look at their roster; they don't even have room for another huge. You're laughing at the way I said
You
room.
said a room.
They don't even have the space really on their roster to get like another good young talent because they're still progressing all these other 10 guys they drafted over the past 8 years. So I don't know. What do you guys
They're in a
think?
tough spot. I mean, I don't know what Detroit goes with. Like, you have Cade, who obviously is your guy. Ivy will run your two, I guess.
You need a small forward.
Yeah, small forwards, what you got? I could definitely see him going with one of the Thompson brothers because they're not going to get Brandon Miller. Unless Brandon Miller miraculously falls somehow, that I
He's
doubt that
not.
happens.
Gonna
He'll go
transfer.
two. I think they'll go Ausar or Amen. It's one of the two because they need that small forward. It's just they don't really have like great shooters because Ivy and Cade Cunningham aren't necessarily the best shooters. You have
Donovan.
Bogdanovich. Yeah, you have Bogdanovich, who I think is their starter right now, but he's obviously aging. We don't know what he's going to do. So, because the Thompson brothers can't shoot at all. So, if there's anybody else that they're looking at, I can honestly see them trading back
That's what I am.
for another small forward, because we when we did the draft evaluation, there was that one forward slash guard who was a really good scorer from a really small school, projected to go in the lottery. I don't remember his name, but I liked him a lot. I could see them trading back for him just because he's a fantastic scorer from all angles. But Detroit, they're in a tough spot with all the young talent. It's going to be tough for them.
So who do you think, looking at the top 14 picks, obviously the winners are like the Spurs. I mean, duh. What do you think is like the biggest loser?
Rockets.
Yeah, because
I know they got four, but like you are the worst team in basketball this year. So,
and we
you
have
know.
talked about, I mean, they don't they were like kind of banking on getting Ime, getting Wemby, and then trying to like compete for something with Harden, but now you're kind of stuck where I'm saying that's why the Raptors, I wouldn't be shocked if the Raptors tried to trade up from anywhere to five to three. If Portland's like, okay, let's trade back. If we do want to keep Dame and whatever, could trade back with Toronto. And then imagine Dame with Pascal and OG.
That'd be pretty hard.
Yeah.
That would be sick. I know, they haven't hired a coach yet, have they?
No one's hired a
Who?
Coach.
Yeah.
They have Toronto. Chauncey Billups. Oh, no.
No, Toronto. So, I mean, if they can get like a nice coach and get Damian Lillard, they'd be scary.
They would keep Dame. They would the third pick. Like the Raptors would trade Pascal and OG for the third pick from Portland. And then Dame.
That'd be pretty crazy, too.
You know, Dame wants people around him.
Yeah. I mean, Dame's always wanted people around him. It's just if the Trailblazers do something to do it, because they never have.
Right.
I think he had some pretty good teams in the mid-2010s.
With who? LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah. And Nico Batum, had two all-stars on the team.
Couldn't get it. I mean, he was really young, too. It was before he was, like, necessarily.
Well, no, he was an all-star that year, too.
I mean, yeah, but, like, he wasn't the all-NBA guy he is as of, like, a few years ago.
He was still a top-5 point guard, though, back then.
Yeah. It's just it's tough to compete in the West around that time when you had Golden State and San Antonio was still good. OKC.
Yeah.
Orlando. Yeah, he was in a tough spot.
Orlando's a big team. They're at 6.
I like Orlando a lot. They got 2 first-round picks. I wouldn't. Or like six. I don't think it's crazy to see them trading up.
They don't need to do anything. They just need to decide.
I don't think they do either. I'm just saying it's not impossible.
Yeah, I don't think they need to do anything at all. I mean, you can maybe make an argument that they need a 2, but I mean, I'm just assuming that they're going to, I don't know, just – I don't even know who they could draft at the 2. But I don't know. I mean, I know that they're a big 3 that they have developing. You kind of just want Jalen Suggs to continue to be consistent, to get more consistent so that you can build around him with Paolo and Franz Wagner. So
those 3 have been really good. It's just like Markelle Fultz has definitely stepped up. He's been
really
good.
I want him to leave.
Yeah. So
I want him on the contenders.
I could see them going guard because Cole Anthony, I think he could run off the bench. He's
that's
a
what he is.
Man.
Yeah. That's what he is. Yeah.
So I could see him going guard.
Maybe
I think that'd be pretty
Thompson
cool.
One of the Thompson brothers is more guard heavy. I think it's Amen. More of a guard.
Yeah, he is. He's a playmaker though, and so is Jalen Suggs.
But no, Jalen Suggs is he's a scorer.
Yeah, but I mean that's what I like the most about him is his playmaking. I mean he's just kind of like I don't know.
I hope they go with somebody big because like they're known for being a big squad with Bol Bol, Banchero, Franz Wagner. Wendell Carter, they're a big team, so I wouldn't doubt they keep adding on to that and get somebody like tall who could run the point.
I think
his name's Anthony Black. I think he's like 6'6", runs the point guard. So I think that could be a possibility there.
Facilitator too, though.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting.
That's true.
The Wizards at 8, I mean, what do they need?
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everything.
You know, resign Kuzma, probably going to resign Porzingis, and they got Beal. You really need a guard. That's a good place for either Amen or what would you say Anthony Black? That'd be a good spot. I think when you even said the Wizards would be a good spot for him when we did the draft stuff. I think that'd be. A good
I remember
spot
that.
For Anthony Black, because he's a facilitator.
And DeLon Wright's their starting point guard, I believe, right now. So
Monte Morris.
Monte, yeah, but yeah, still, neither of those are fantastic enough to win games.
Like
so him. I think Anthony Black would be good, especially because Beal's an undersized too. Make up that size at the 1. I think it's a good pick.
Some other teams, we don't have to go through the whole thing, but the Jazz at like 9.
They're set. They're good.
I think they just keep developing. Maybe, maybe like a better. I mean, Colin Sexton, for some reason, they don't like him. He comes off the bench. So maybe you get a better guard. I don't know.
I think that's his role.
I think he's a star.
Just like a Terry Rozier to me.
But Terry Rozier starts.
Yeah, but that's because he's on the Hornets. If he was on any other team, he'd probably just be the 6th man. It's just not his play style. They're just like Lou Williams. That's what they are to me. It's Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford. So they can't do anything but score. They're good at scoring, but that's all they do.
Hey, that's not bad if that's what you are.
Yeah.
Dallas?
I mean,
well, go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know what they would do.
Dallas at 10.
Saying, honestly.
Dallas at 10. Just Dallas in general. Kyrie Irving, I was talking about this before. Kyrie Irving, he is literally the future of the Mavericks. Because if he walks, they get nothing. Luka, because if he walks, Christian Wood's going to walk. I was reading an article on that. So then Luka's stuck with Tim Hardaway Jr. and Reggie Bullock being the best two players. They have the 10th pick, which, sure, you can get someone who's probably better than Reggie Bullock, but definitely not better than Tim Hardaway Jr. right now. So that's who you're stuck with if you're Luka. And then Luka's going to get mad, and he's going to request a trade in like 2 years. If you lose Kyrie, you lose Christian Wood, the Mavericks are screwed for years.
Can they sign and trade Kyrie?
They can do whatever they want with Kyrie, but – thing is, if you don't,
that's your but nobody right wants there. Kyrie Irving. He's not. I don't think he gets a job next year.
I think it's tough because you could sign to trade him. It's just who wants to trade for him.
The Lakers are the only place that I could see him going, and D'Angelo Russell have been playing too good for them to replace him with Kyrie Irving.
Maybe especially if they lose Austin Reaves.
Oh yeah, if they lose Austin Reaves, if they lose Austin Reaves next year, they better sign back Lonnie Walker because it won't be good.
Yeah, I think Kyrie, it's just like, why would you want, like, you tried to get him to compete for a championship. You didn't even make the play-in tournament. You didn't even make the playoffs. You have a losing record with him. You literally have, like, the hands of, like, your entire future is in Kyrie's hand. Like, that's just a terrible person to have, like, your franchise. Everything relies on him if he leaves because Christian Wood's going to be out. And imagine just, I know I said it, I'm just repeating myself, but imagine, like, Reggie Bullock and Tim Hardaway being the best players after Luka Doncic on a team. And then whoever you decide to draft at 10, what's that? Just because you have Luka Doncic, that's probably like a Luka Doncic, probably 28 wins by himself. But then after that, how many wins do you get?
Not a lot, because if he goes down, then it's over. So, yeah.
I
just find it crazy. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay. I just find it crazy that Kyrie Irving has the entire future of an organization just in the palm of his hands. Because, I mean, they can offer him a fat contract and trade him, but it's completely his decision if he wants to sign it. So he could say, screw y'all. I can put y'all into poverty if I really want to and completely just screw over Dallas for the next 10 years. I mean, who knows if they get Luka back? Their entire future depends on the one guy who's kind of mentally crazy that we've seen in the media, in Kyrie Irving. So Dallas is in a very tough spot. I mean, if they can get Kyrie Irving and trade him, they'll be fine. They'll win some games. But if Kyrie doesn't sign that contract, they are screwed for a very long time. It's going to be crazy.
Is like, I mean, it'd be great if they could keep him, obviously. But still, it's like, it worked out great last year. But it'd be better than losing Luka. I mean, losing him and then just Luka by himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think it's crazy. Yep. They're one of the biggest teams to watch this offseason because I don't know. Like, I can't even fathom. Like, where would Kyrie go, honestly? What's the team that could offer him a contract that he would accept?
I wouldn't want him in L.A. I think it's just the Lakers.
But now that they're in the Western Conference Finals, I don't see it happening. If they were a first-round exit, sure, because they need to shake things up. But since they are already in the Western Conference Finals, why would they want to change anything?
Yeah, there's no reason to.
I think they only do it if they lose Austin Reaves or Lonnie Walker. Especially Austin Reaves, because Austin Reaves has stepped up for them so hard. He's won them games. So if he's gone, I think, especially if they lose to Denver. So if they lose to Denver and lose Austin Reaves, I think that'll make them, you know, have that mindset that they got to bring in Kyrie Irving to take them over the hump, especially losing Austin Reaves. But if they get him back and even win the finals, Kyrie's, I don't know what happens then.
Thing is, you have to give up a lot to get Kyrie. You have to dump off some contracts that are key role players, like Vanderbilt, Beasley. I mean, you're obviously going to lose AR-15.
Then you're just at the same point you were with Westbrook.
That's what I'm saying.
Mohamed Bamba.
So I'm saying, so you kind of, I don't even know. I think you just keep what you've got because you have good depth and you're obviously doing well. Because if you try to get Kyrie, you're going to have to offload a lot of money. That's key depth. I don't know. Because we saw that in Boston. He was here. We did worse with him on the court than we did without him. We went to game 7 against LeBron without Kyrie. So,
yeah.
I think the Lakers just keep what they're doing. Speaking of the Lakers, though, next year, just random, but Bronny James is in the draft. We saw he's going to USC. He's staying in LA. Wherever he goes, LeBron structured his contract. This is random. I was just thinking about it. LeBron structured his contract in the way that he is a free agent next year, or he can opt out. Yeah, keep eating those chips, Gene. He can opt out. What do you think's going to happen with that? Just random. Just, you know, we're looking at the draft.
He's not going to be there next year. Next year is his last year in LA.
That's what I'm saying. So I know we're just looking at the draft. We're just talking about this stuff. So it made me think, where do you think this is going to make Bronny get drafted, like in the top five? No, or number one, where they know they get LeBron, even if he's not worth the top.
Yeah.
But he's going to get drafted in the top three.
LeBron's going to be.
Yeah, imagine like, because you get Bronny James, and then that comes with LeBron James, and then you have all of the media publicity everywhere. I mean, that makes you a big market, no matter who it is. So, I mean, whoever drafts Bronny James is set for at least a couple of years, because LeBron is obviously aging. And you're going to get Bronny. Well, we don't know how he's going to pan out. He's been good at times. He's been bad at times. But no matter what, you're going to get publicity. And LeBron James attracts players. He's going to want to bring in some other guys to help that team out. We've seen it over time with guys like Anthony Davis and yada, yada, yada. I mean, look at the whole 2020 year where he brought in guys like J.R. Smith and all of them to win the finals. So I think whoever lands Bronny James is set, because he's going to want to bring in players. He gets LeBron, Bronny. They could do a lot, whoever gets them.
Now, you look at the lottery this year. Going into next year, it's probably not going to be too much different, because most teams aren't going to take a big jump. I mean, the Magic, they'll probably jump out of the top. Worst 10, I think they're going to do pretty well. But most of these teams are probably going to stay relatively the same. I think the Spurs will still be in the top five. They're going to do better, but I don't see them being like a 8 seed or up. I don't know. Again, I got to see Victor play, like I talked about. But anyways.
Imagine the Spurs get him and you have LeBron and Wembanyama.
What teams do you think in this lottery right now are going to stay relatively in the top three or five? And who do you think would get Bronny and then LeBron? Like, what fit would make the most sense?
Spurs. Because, I mean, like, the Spurs, like, Bronny's a point guard. He's 6'3", 6'4", I believe. So the Spurs do need a point guard to get rid of Trey Jones or at least replace him. And then you're going to bring in LeBron James, who's an immediate upgrade over the Vassell or Keldon Johnson, whoever they want him to play over. So
I don't know.
And you bring in.
I don't know.
What'd you say?
40 years old. I don't know if that's like, I don't know if he's going to be an upgrade.
It's LeBron. I mean, he could play off the bench if he wants to. I don't think that ever happens. LeBron never plays off the bench, but I mean, you could definitely do it and then bring in whoever LeBron wants to bring in, because players are going to want to play with him. And then you have Wembanyama. I mean, Popovich brings in his worst enemy, LeBron James. That'd be pretty funny if he's still coaching, obviously. But I think that'd be really cool if the Spurs got him.
I think the Spurs is really like the most realistic one, because I don't think LeBron is going to want Bronny to go to like a random ass franchise when you have.
It's a big market.
Yeah, it is a big market. And then you got Pop and great ownership, and it's a historic team. I think Bron would want him to go there. And I feel like he can't do anything illegal, but I feel like he'd be like, hey, you want to take Bronny? I'll come to you. Like a little, tampering.
Tampering. It's a little tampering. Yeah, there's some tampering going on. But I mean, I'm sure if they do get caught tampering, they'll take whatever fine comes their way, because you're going to get Bronny and LeBron. So I'm sure LeBron will pay that fine. He's got the money to do it.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nick?
As far as fit,
for Bronny and LeBron.
I don't know if I mean, if Dallas is really bad, they'll pull that. If they miss the playoffs next year, that's what they'll do. And hypothetically jump up in the draft lottery, yeah, they'll do that 100%.
I could see Dallas being really bad. You just said jumping up. I could see that happening.
Yeah, 100%. More realistically, though, I mean, I could see if Toronto trades all their people, I could see Toronto, and then, you know,
LeBron.
I guess, you know, you have LeBron, you have Scottie Barnes, you have whoever they draft this year, and Bronny. And I mean, that'd be all right. So,
yeah, you're interesting to see. All right. So, going into tonight, I'm going to be at the Celtics game, and my voice is already lost from game seven. So, hopefully, I can be here for the next podcast and not have to miss one.
What do you think? I mean, good luck.
What do you think the score is tonight?
I think Miami wins tonight.
See, I'll say Celtics win 112 to 107. I think it's close in the end, but Boston pulls away.
I say Celtics win. It's going to be very defensive, because they're both very defensive-minded. And Jimmy is going to just get in the head of all of us. I think it's going to be like 97 to 92 Celtics. If not like 90 to 87.
Hey, you're on low score.
That's where I'm going with it.
I just think like either Tatum or Brown goes for like 35 or something, and then Jimmy Butler obviously does Jimmy Butler things. So I think there will be like one high scorer on each side, but Boston pulls out in the end. I think the Heat take game two, though.
I see the Heat taking game one, and then Boston winning two straight. Then y'all just win it out. Then Miami would win one, and then y'all would just win out after that.
No, I'm definitely nervous. Michael Jordan's son.
Scared. I know y'all are facing MJ's son, so yeah, y'all got a lot stacked against you. One of the all-time great playoff performers.
It's all
Everybody's
right.
getting
Michael
old.
Jordan never beat the Celtics in a playoff series, so.
It's true.
Jimmy won't be able to either. I mean, he did in the bubble, though. So
Oh, Jimmy
MJ's
Butler?
son
Yeah.
has. Yeah.
MJ's son beat the Celtics in a series, so I mean he's doing something right.
Well, that's all I got on here. If any, y'all got anything else?
Huh. Not really. That's all I think we're good, right? You good, Nick?
Good.
All right. So that's all we got for you on this beautiful afternoon. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM and the Full Court Press Podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at FCP Podcast underscore UA and on TikTok at FCP underscore podcast. We'll see y'all next podcast. Have a great day.
Oh.
WVUA FM, Tuscaloosa.